Hi, friends. Welcome to We Are the BYC. I'm Dawn, the human behind the Instagram account at Baby Yoda SD, inviting you to join us for a delightful journey into the heart of the Baby Yoda community. Picture this podcast as your exclusive invitation to a favorite neighborhood coffee shop, where enthusiastic members of the BYC gather to share heartwarming stories and laughter, uncovering the untold tales and vibrant personalities of the humans behind these precious baby Yodas. Whether you're a longtime member or a newcomer, get ready to join the fun as we embark on an adventure filled with camaraderie, emotion, and a whole lot of baby Yoda love. Pull up a chair, grab your favorite drink, and let's dive in. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to what is now our second season of We Are the BYC. We did take an unofficial, kind of unplanned break through the holidays. And by holidays, I mean starting from September. I say unplanned because I did intend to have this interview with Daddy Love Grogu released prior to the new year, but one thing after another came up, as they always do during the holidays, and it just never happened. So anyway, because these interviews are very informal and just like a couple of friends catching up over coffee, I sometimes forget to introduce the guest. So this episode, we get to hear from Mao, the human behind the account Daddy Love Grogu, and her husband Thomas, who is an essential part of the account's creativity and a great support for Mao and the babies. I hope you enjoy the show. Hi, guys.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. Doing great. Yeah.
Today we're talking to Daddy Love Grogu. Welcome, guys.
Hey. Hello. Hello.
Thanks so much for coming on. I'm so excited. Oh, the whole clan is here. Oh, the babies.
I know. We could show everybody.
I know. Oh my gosh.
There's even some right back there.
Hey, there's babies that are in.
This is a sacred
baby. Oh my gosh, those are babies in pods. Like they're brand new babies.
Yeah. Yep. So one of them goes to my parents.
Oh.
In Japan, and so those are top. Yeah, one of them going to Japan. And one of them going to my sister-in-law.
He's my sister-in-law too. Actually, my
brother. Yeah, our sister-in-law. Others like.
Oh, I love it.
I just can't handle like more than four babies, like because like I build up like you know they all like really like has
Their
they have a
personality.
Strong personality.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And I just like I couldn't keep up, and I just kind of opt out. Two of them. Oh, you see my baby Melon.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, bring him.
Oh, and then I got the.
Oh, the mini, the tiny herd.
Yes, $1.
Oh my god.
You know, Aldo sent me a link, and then I was like, well, looks like it, you know, legit. And I'm gonna try to order, and then he arrived earlier than the other one.
Oh.
Who I paid $10. So he was only one.
Oh my gosh. It's so funny how they were different prices. I think I got ours for $6. But yeah, I heard of them being for like $1.
Yeah.
Somebody paid $11. I don't know.
Yeah.
They're so amazing. They're like.
Yeah, it's so cute.
They're just like perfect little replicas of our babies.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Is this one, does this one have a name yet?
Oreo.
Oh, perfect.
Not fruit. Everybody was like, oh, is that pineapple?
Uh-huh, no. Yeah.
Watermelon. But he named him.
Yeah, this was the first one that I got the name.
So cute.
Oreo sounded cute, so.
Yeah. No, that's a perfect name for a baby. Oh, cute. Well,
watch this over there.
All right. Well, so guys, tell us about where, I mean, I think we all know where you're from, but where are you from?
We are from, now it's like Auburn, Washington. We used to live in Seattle, but we moved back to his parents' house.
Oh, okay.
She's like 30 minutes drive away from Seattle, little south. Yeah. Me personally, I'm from Japan.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah.
And as the name implies, I grew up here, you know. So, but
really white.
Now I got roommates, my parents.
Well, that's pretty nice of you to let them, you know, hang around and stay there. So
yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh yeah, I'm letting them stay.
Well, I moved in this house like right before we moved to Seattle, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And then we moved to Seattle for my school, and we lived in Seattle for 2 years. That apartment was interesting, you know.
Yeah, the apartment itself was nice. The characters around Seattle, you would meet all different kinds of people.
Yeah, oh my God. For sure.
Yeah, like a guarantee your package might be stolen. Like Amazon packages, like gone. Or like, oh, yeah, some people like order Girl Scout cookies.
Uh huh.
Oh yeah, that one was funny. So these guys ordered Girl Scout cookies. And there was this huge box. So there had to have been at least 24 boxes in there, maybe 32 or something like that. And we come down and then the box is just torn open and there's boxes everywhere. Like almost like an animal had gone through it. But no, somebody was just eating the cookies and going back to their apartment.
Oh my
and
God.
So we thought that, like, when we saw the, you know, the box, we thought that, oh, somebody left the packages, you know, like I thought that, you know, we almost
thought it was like a community giveaway, like, yeah. Hey, just people in the apartment, just enjoy these cookies. Days later, like a really mean note was posted on the corkboard, like, I will find you.
Oh my God.
You took my snickerdoodles.
Holy crap. So somebody in the apartments is the one that did that.
Yeah. Yes.
Holy crap.
No, Girl Scout cookies, you pay a premium for basically what you can get. It's Keebler, right?
I think so.
Yeah, they're made by one of the main cookie distributors. So, but yeah, you pay a premium.
Dang it.
Yep.
Oh, you guys, I thought it was maybe just like the people in the area, like homeless people or something that you're having issues
there's
with.
There's that too, for
there's
sure.
That too, yeah.
You know.
But yeah, don't want all the staying in the Airbnb.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You guys stayed up in U District. How was that?
Oh, gosh, we loved it. Like, okay, the house we stayed in, well, we stayed above the garage in a, like a little, whatever, apartment, I guess, above the garage, which was fine. It was really nice. But man, that house, like the house itself was so beautiful and they had the most amazing yard. It was kind of funny when we first got there, because we got there like, I don't know, 11 at night. And it was dark, and like the only information we had was head to the front door, make a left, go around the side of the house and enter through the like gate. And I'm like, I really hope this is the right house, because we're just going into somebody's backyard. we're gonna get in trouble.
One's like I think on the same road on the cafe.
Oh really? Yeah. Oh nice, that, nice, yeah. Street,
right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are some nice houses over there.
Mm-hmm. It was so fun. And then they had a cat and a dog that were the friendliest cat and dog. Like they came with us, they followed us into the apartment that we were staying at. They were like there hanging out with us all day. The dog slept on the bed with us.
Oh my God.
It was fun.
It was funny, but I really loved that area. We were only there for a couple days, but I fell in love with the U District. It was pretty cool. I liked it.
Nice.
It does have some redeeming qualities, I will say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been to Seattle before, but I've never been to that area. And I thought, God, this would be a great place to live in.
That's right. I think better than Seattle.
Yeah, it's way better than downtown. Mm. It's got a lot of walkable features, like breweries, and U Village is right there. You know, so once we discovered too late how easy it was to just get down there. So like our first year, we didn't explore as much as we could. But the second year, we tried to make as much use of it as we can.
Yeah,
because driving can be difficult, or like driving sucks. Parking situation is really bad. So but you can walk to almost, you know, pretty much anywhere, or take a bus.
Yeah.
They were so they couldn't make it to the birria tacos, the place.
Oh and no! Shoot, you guys gotta come back.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
They're so nice, but I don't know. She's the owner, no manager, right? Probably.
I thought she was the owner.
Maybe she's owner. Ooh. Like there's a lady, probably manager or owner, she loves Baby Yoda.
Oh.
And every time we bring Baby Yoda, like, can I take pictures?
Oh, how cute.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's how we follow each other. I mean, that place.
Yeah, yeah.
They're always welcome.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. So what do you, so you moved there, you went to the you moved to the university district for school. Now, what did you go to school for? What was your study?
Well, initially, when I moved to the U.S., I really wanted to become a journalist.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was like, oh, like, I want to be a writer or reporter,
mm-hmm.
whatever, you know, writing news stories, like, going to, like, communities and talk to people.
Oh, yeah.
But then something changed. I don't know, like maybe because of COVID happened or something like that. Oh, maybe I got married. Well, probably.
Maybe you got married.
No. Probably because I got married to Thomas before I finished in school. But when I got into UW, University of Washington, I already, you know, I was already a wife, right? And it was probably, I don't know, made some changes in my like whatever anyway I was like I majored in journalism and kind of forcing myself to get out of this comfort zone.
Oh yeah,
you know, your comfort zone. I went to talk to like people at an animal shelter in Seattle, asylum seekers camp, homeless, people who used to be a homeless. I went to like a lot of places outside of campus and talked to people, but I just didn't really like it. It was fun, but at the same time, I felt a little awkward, like going to, let's say, like being a journalist. Well, let's say if you become a journalist full-time, you probably have to cover, you know, something that you don't really like, right?
Oh, right.
And then you go to the community who actually really need help, but you talk to those people and then just get some of the quotes, you know, and then go back and write story and then publish it. And that's it. You don't really go back to community. Like, a lot of people
see.
Yeah.
It's almost like you were more interested in the impact the story could have to a community and seeing that through rather than just reporting on it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you're building up portfolio. It's really cool. I published these stories. Well, I mean, I don't want to say, but like, I felt in that way, or especially I think I was like more side of like minority, and then there were so many white girls in my class, and I feel like, oh, I'm kind of left out. So, and that probably affected me, but I learned a lot of things, and definitely I can use those skills, you know, from now on in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, gosh, I've read some, well, you know that I read some of your articles that you wrote, and I was just like amazed. It didn't seem like somebody who is in college, like learning how to do it. I was reading it like it was a professional who'd been doing this for years. Wow. Like, you were so good.
Thank you.
At writing. Yeah, you know, it was good.
I hated it. And then I was like, oh my God. I mean, I'm one of, like, there were only two students, including me, from, you know, other countries, right? International students. And then I had felt for a long time like, oh, I'm just like not qualified to become a journalist for a long time. And then after I wrote a story about asylum seekers, my professor was like, you know, like, oh, you should become a journalist, that you should pursue this, you know, path. And she gave me two awards, like those,
well, she nominated you.
Well, she nominated me. Well, and then
but then you actually got them.
Yeah, I got them. but I'm like, oh, it's too late, because that was like 1 month before I graduated.
Oh, my gosh.
But now I'm trying to, well, I got a part-time job at digital marketing.
Yay! Oh, you did!
And then it's, okay, it's part-time, but I don't have any experience. And as I have seen a lot of people struggling to get job these days, and I'm one of them. But especially if you don't have any experience, it's really hard to get a full-time job nowadays, even like even if people who have experience.
Usually with people with experience, they have to bid down, you know, the lower salary for hopefully the regrowth.
You know? And especially remote job or hybrid, you know, which I'm looking for, you know, a remote or hybrid job. But I found one, and then I got a job last week. Well, this week I signed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, he's been working mostly remote.
Mostly remote. I had to go in a lot when I was in Seattle because I was so close to the office. I didn't really have a excuse to not go in.
What do you do? What do you do?
So I wear a lot of hats. to summarize, I'm basically a project manager, relationship manager, SQL developer, AI developer.
Oh, so my gosh.
That's basically all that we do in the contract that we have with Microsoft right now. And so Microsoft is my client. And so it's usually a lot of like going there in person to meet with the client, understand their needs, wants, stuff like that, communicate it back to the developer team, and sometimes help them build the technical solution that needs to be built.
Wow, that my mind's like
that's kind of like it boiled down. But
a lot of people like who have watched his YouTube, you know, like he has a YouTube account, like he likes motorcycles and cars, and a lot of people like that, like he's a full-time
YouTuber
or something.
No, work is how I pay for the motorcycles.
Those hobbies are
expensive.
Yes.
Gosh, Thomas, that's pretty amazing. So, yeah, I know we saw like a lot of the posts and stuff where it was daddy's workspace at home. And so I always wonder, do you get to work from home all the time? But yeah, you just obviously said you had to go in every now and then. Mm-hmm. But do you get to stay home more often now?
I do. I'm basically going in once a week now. Mal's going to help me go in tomorrow. So it takes me about an hour to get there on my own in the morning, even if I use all my shortcuts. But coming home, it's been a solid hour and a half in traffic. So by having my beautiful bride with me tomorrow, because she can work remotely too, I'm going to take her with me and use the HOV lane and see if it makes it any better.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Very cool.
But then after that, we're going to go back over to U-District, actually, in that same area where you guys stayed. And we're going to get sushi with some friends because they have a birthday.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's going to be fun.
So many nice restaurants and shops around, you know, U-District. Yeah. It's just like here, you have to drive. There are not a lot of like those small businesses. Mm-hmm. Like it's more like McDonald's.
Yeah.
Wendy's. Taco Bell.
Do you remember the bridal party from the wedding?
Mm-hmm.
So not the maid of honor and the best man, but the couple after that.
Oh yeah.
In the middle. Kylie and Ryan. It's her birthday tomorrow, and my buddy's birthday, Ryan, it's actually his birthday in October. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna do a little early one for him too.
Yeah.
Oh, fun. That's gonna be good. So, but it'll be a long day, right? Because how early? You have to get up pretty early to go in.
Yep. So we're leaving the house at 7.
Oh my god.
Party starts at 6:30 p.m. And then and then we'll go back after that.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, nice. Okay.
Wednesday.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, it'll be a fun day though, and you know, it's good to get out and do stuff like that.
Yeah, we needed to get out of the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why we went a road trip. We went to Portland and Cannon Beach.
Yes.
Yeah, Tillamook. Yeah, you never been to Tillamook.
Never been to Tillamook. And I lived in Oregon, well, only for 18 years of my life, but Never been to Tillamook or Cannon Beach, and I'd love to see the pictures of that those places. They're just so beautiful.
But yeah,
I heard that the Oregon coast is a lot better than the Washington coast. But it's like same thing. I've lived in Washington my whole life, and I've never explored the Washington coast. I've literally been to the ocean shores once. Yeah. And I barely remember it because I was so young.
Yeah. It's just life gets in the way. There's other things to do, 100 different things. And yeah. Well, I know that the Washington beaches are so rocky, like so many little rocks, like gravel.
Especially in Puget Sound.
Yeah. So not as much sand. Yeah. The Oregon beaches are so beautiful.
Yeah, Cannon Beach is sandy.
I couldn't believe how soft that sand was. It honestly, it's... I don't know, any of your viewers listening to this might strongly disagree, but I felt like the sand was just as soft, if not softer, than the sand in Hawaii.
Oh, really? Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, it reminds me of Lanikai Beach.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how maybe nice. Lanikai Beach is a
little bit, I don't know. It's about the same, maybe.
Yeah, maybe about the same.
That specific, like, mm-hmm. really soft.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool to know. Hey, well, did you guys notice any this is like off topic, I guess, but how was the beach as far as like trash or like plastic?
It was really clean, really? I think. I didn't notice any trash really. A lot of firewood though.
Okay.
People like bonfires.
Yeah.
But we saw the little bubbles, remember? So that's
Was I can't confirm this, but we saw on Cannon Beach, there was a lot of foam at the sea. So sometimes that can indicate that there's pollution getting into the water.
Yeah.
And chemicals. But I'm not a marine biologist and I don't study the ecosystem, so don't take my word for it. That's just what I saw.
Yeah.
I don't know. It could have been anything.
Well, yeah. a friend, my niece, had gone to the beach, Newport Beach, a couple years ago and was sending me pictures of the sand and like all of the microplastics that were there. And I had never obviously seen that growing up when we would go to certain beaches. And I was so like horrified that even in Oregon, like the trash situation was getting to our beaches. And then we went to the beach here last year and we had the same stuff. And I was like, oh my gosh, like when did this start happening?
It's everywhere now. Yeah. It's like it's part of the ecosystem. You gotta like process it.
It's so bad. Well, at least you guys didn't have to see that, but
yeah.
Yeah, I guess that particular area, we didn't see anything.
Good.
I mean, some of them, but not a lot.
Oh, good. Maybe there's still some places that are good.
I've heard that in Japan, since we're talking plastics, in Japan, they prefer the farm-raised salmon over the wild caught, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you're the one who told me that.
Did I?
Yeah.
Did I?
Yeah. Because like the farm-raised, they're like they don't have as many like parasites or like pollutants in them.
Oh, was it in Japan?
Yeah, well,
somewhere
it might
maybe
yeah
somewhere. Well, yeah, but that's true because mm-hmm. salmon, you know, the wild salmon, like nowadays, you know, it's wild, so it's they just, you know, sometimes just eat the stuff and it contains bad chemical the stuff. So like farm salmon, it was a Costco. I don't know in Japan, but like Costco sells like those farm raised salmon.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's the only salmon that you can eat, you know, raw as raw fish.
Oh,
right. Like the sashimi, because it's really dangerous to eat as a raw fish. Yeah. So when it comes to sushi, sashimi, they have to use farm raised salmon.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That's, but wild salmon is.
It's still good. It still tastes good. Yeah. Just cook it.
Yeah, just cook it.
Oh, wow. So is that is a thing in Japan then specifically that they have to use the farm raised for sushi?
No, I think it's here too.
I think it's everywhere now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I see. Yeah, that makes sense.
When I was taking my environmental sciences class, the one thing that kind of stuck with me was there's something in the food chain called biomagnification.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like as your environment becomes more polluted and the smaller objects or the smaller we'll call it the smaller bioorganisms on the food chain start eating the polluted items, and the larger ones eat them, by percentage, it continues to grow to the larger animals.
I love that too.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you get from like, you know, from a, you know, a shrimp all the way up to top of the food chain, like a killer whale. And by percentage, the killer whale is just loaded with toxins. Like if one dies on a beach, like you have a hazmat team that comes in and cleans it up because it's so toxic.
Wow. That's so interesting. I never thought of that, but it makes sense. How horrible. Oh my God. Yeah.
Man. Sorry, this is a baby Yoda. We're so supposed to be happy.
The world's on fire.
We need the babies to take over. That's so funny. Well, okay, let's see. Speaking of the babies, so can you tell us about their names? How did Mal, did you, were you the one that named all of them?
I think so.
Did I? No, Mocha was you?
Was it me? I don't remember.
No? Well, anyway, we have mainly four babies. Well, we had. Well, now it's like, yeah.
We're currently caring for a dear friend's baby Yoda right now. He's perfectly fine. Sorry.
Oh, that sounded... do you remember Ben?
Yes, of course,
he's still staying. And we have, so like his dad got into getting baby Yoda too. So he has three babies by himself. So in this house, including them, we have a lot, but we mainly four.
Let's go through the main four.
Yeah. So Mango, Cherry, Lemon, Mocha. Cherry was the first baby. She actually became part of his family before I met him.
Cherry was a kind of a gag gift for me for one of my birthdays. I think it was my 22nd or 23rd birthday, something like that.
2020. You got 2020. 2020, so 4 years ago.
4 years ago. How old am I? 24th birthday.
Uh-huh.
It was my 24th birthday. And, you know, I love The Mandalorian. And my family loved it. And they thought, oh, why don't we just get Thomas this this baby Grogu for his birthday. Yeah. And I thought it was cool. And so I started occasionally dressing at the time Grogu, now Cherry, for like the holidays. Like I'd put a Santa hat on her and I would put a witch's hat for Halloween, you know. And then my sister-in-law actually even knitted a scarf and we put it around her.
Yeah, she was how did you call her?
Her name, Grogu.
So Cherry was Grogu. She wasn't Cherry before.
Grogu. And I met him and then I came over for the first time. For the first time. And then I saw, I didn't know it was Baby Yoda at that time because I had not watched it yet, The Mandalorian. But I could tell like, you know, he's Yoda's small version. That's cute. And since I mentioned that, you know, he said like, we should watch Mandalorian.
There was the second season, I think, was coming out, or the third season or something by that time. And I figured, well, this is kind of like a family thing that my family does, is we go and we watch all the Star Wars series when they come out.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, well, you're going to be here for this and you're not going to know what's going on. So we better catch up real quick before the new season comes out.
Yeah. And then I watched the first episode. I'm like,
Baby Yoda crazy.
And then I started watching YouTube all the time. I mean, I was living in a different house at that time, but I got obsessed with Baby Yoda. And I'm like, and then I started feeling like, I want to get one, but I didn't know where I could get at that time. And I figured out, Target might have it. And then I visited Target and then I found one and like, I'm gonna get one. And this is Mango. So
it was melon.
Oh,
so
it was melon.
This one in the far back above the center. is actually Mouse first.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that's the first one. Now I remember.
And
because he said like, oh, maybe
I suggested that because as collectible toys go, they tend to gain value if you keep them in the box. I suggested, hey, Mal, why don't we keep this one in the box and we just get you like another one, you know, that you can play with.
So he technically has been activated. Well, like, you know, just hasn't been born in the earth. Well, anyway, I realized, but I want to play, you know, I actually want to feel it. And then I just want to, you know, hold it and cuddle. So I decided to get another one
and another one.
limit.
So it was like three in the course of like a month and a half.
Yeah. That's why Mango's birthday is August 10th. And then we went to Portland for the first time. Well, for me. And I didn't have an account at that time. So I just left Mango in a hotel and then, you know, we just hang out. And after I came back from Portland and I realized I kind of want to get, you know, a brother.
Yeah.
I mean, at that time, Mango, I called him Grogu.
Before naming them, what was their names together?
So Grogu.
It was, wasn't it like Grogu 1 and Grogu 2?
Yeah, I didn't know community. Please don't be mad at me.
Oh, let's talk about
that. Please. But I just didn't have name because I didn't know there was Baby Yoda community, you know?
Yeah.
There's a little bit of an introduction to that one, that story. So Mao was... you know, very into, you know, the Baby Yoda scene, and like she was just like, I love them so much. It was on the borderline of a healthy obsession. So I suggested to Mal, because one time I did post a picture of Cherry on my personal Instagram account, you know, with like the witch's outfit on or something. And I started seeing a bunch of people like responding like, oh, wow, this is great. You know, love them. And later on, I figured out that's the Baby Yoda community.
Oh, wow.
Before I even knew that, I said, hey, Mal, why don't you just make an account and start posting them on Instagram? Because I think there's like a, you know, community out there or something.
Yeah. Like, well, and then at the time I'm like, I was going through hard times like in my life. And I'm like, oh, I don't know, but I decided to open an account, and then since I started an account, like, it was, you know, I mean...
It took off.
Yeah, like, and then soon after I started, I posted a couple, you know, photos on my account, and, like, people started asking me, like, hey, what's their name? You know, what are they...
Oh.
And I'm like, uh-oh. It cannot be Grogu 1, Grogu 2. And then I checked it, like, those people's account, and everybody has a unique name, right? And I'm like, okay, what do I do? And I wanted to make sounds cute, whatever, like, easy to pronounce to me.
Yeah.
And then hopefully I can use, like, emoji. So,
oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. Why don't we do like fruit names? And like that time, everybody looked same because my lemon didn't have legs, you know? And I just like kind of random because Cherry did, nobody had a personality. I was just calling Grogu 1, Grogu 2.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, this is Cherry. This is a girl. This is a Mango. So it was really random. Eventually, it built a kind of, you know, they built up personalities.
Yeah.
And then Emoka came to life.
Yeah.
Is Mocha's person, like, is his true personality known yet to the community at large? Or is he still?
Yeah, people who went to the Vegas meetup. Right. Yeah, I think they know, but Mocha is a gay. he doesn't, like, you know, he's not looking for a boyfriend or anything.
No.
He just loves daddy. in a special way.
Oh my god.
So he's thinking that oh my god, Mocha, your cake's gonna be out in a couple weeks.
Should I not put this in? I cannot put it in.
No, it's okay.
Discretion.
No, okay, don't be cautious, all the boys, but you know, he's not looking for boyfriend.
Okay.
He just, you know.
Yeah.
He just loves daddy. Yeah. That's why that's how we, you know, he realized that he's a gay, right? Like, oh, I'm a gay. But okay, yeah.
Oh, Mocha.
And then Lemon actually is married.
Oh my god.
Yes.
Do you want to meet Lemon's wife?
Yes. Oh,
okay.
No, it's that happened like 2 years ago.
Oh my
though.
God.
Like, I was just playing with Lemon. Oh my god, people think I'm crazy, but
we're all crazy now.
I'm like, well, I don't know. Like, we got this cute bunny.
Wait, don't say that.
Uh-oh.
Yet. We're supposed to do the reveal.
Don't guess.
Oh my
god. Yeah, this is Momo. And then I was like, oh, it'll be cute, like Lima's dating Momo. And I'm like, why don't they get married? But that was, I think, before Cherry and Mango started dating.
Their respective partners.
I don't have to worry about boyfriends.
Furthering,
right?
Relationships.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody's spoken for, or everybody is
exactly
where they want to be in their life. Yes.
Funny story about Momo and Lemon. Momo is kind of like the stuffed animal representation of Mao. Momo's personality is very, very close to Mao as like her sweet side or personality. Lemon, he takes a lot after me.
Oh,
yes. He likes cars. He likes motorcycles. He likes sports cars.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow!
He wants to get Porsche.
And he's and he's sometimes a little dumb with people's emotions.
Yes. He's not good at relationship.
Yeah. So I have to give him a lot of advice. Hey, no.
Oh my god, that's so cute! I didn't know that. That's funny to learn.
No, actually, Cherry was the last one who built up, like, you know, those personalities. Mm-hmm. She was always the quiet one.
Oh, wow.
Because she just, you know, she's him.
Yeah.
His baby.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I was prohibited from taking off
her. I said,
her
don't take my baby.
Yeah, original rope, right? But when I sent Mango and Lemon to Toyn's, you know, shop.
Oh yeah.
I just needed to do something with her because I was like, we were going.
It was actual withdrawals.
Yeah.
Not having Baby Yoda.
Yeah, 2021. We were going to the PMW very first meetup, mm-hmm. and I'm like, please let me take a robe off and then just put, you know, cute clothes.
I caved finally.
Oh my god, and then she became
everybody loved to Chili. Like, I feel a little bad for Mango and everybody loves Chili.
Yeah, it's funny because Cherry has got like such this big personality now, like she's known for, you know,
I don't know what happened, but
so Cherry, she didn't come in like one of the pods. She came in it was a box set that had like the ball and the cup and the frog.
Yes.
That's the one. Yeah. She was a little different.
Yeah.
Now
I have the box and all of the trinkets somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did she come with that bag too? Like the little...
No, not
bag.
The bag, but she came with the Mythosaur necklace.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the original one.
Oh, okay, yes. Oh, man. Cherry.
Now she likes drinking.
Yeah.
That's ours.
Yeah.
Well, like, some people really, like, seriously concerned about us drinking too much, but...
It's like, is that all you do?
Yeah. Are you okay?
No, we do other things.
Like, people, yeah, who just, yeah, sometimes, you know, some people message me.
Really?
Very concerned.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Well, it's nice, nice that they're concerned, but it's
kind of funny.
But I'm like, I promise we have, you know, got much more alcohol than the photos, like, we took in Japan. Like, a lot of people, like, oh, I made a, how many drinks, you know, did a cherry, you know, got, get?
Yeah.
How many drinks?
How many drinks did cherry consume over whatever period?
Yeah. Well, anyway, I made that video, and it was, a lot of people like, what? You know? That's too much. That's a lot.
I feel bad admitting this to a nurse. Like, you're gonna scold me so bad.
I'm not one to talk though, so or anyone to judge, I should say.
But yeah, I was like, we were talking, like, you know, after I posted the, you know, video and then people made that comment, I'm like, well, we actually got, you know, much more.
Well, these are the ones we just took the photos of.
That was actually much more. So, okay.
So, yeah, like if you only knew what was really happening.
Yeah, it's so fun, right? We love breweries, you know.
Yeah.
We love trying, you know. Well, when we went to Portland last week,
it was kind of a brewery tour in a lot of ways.
Cool. Yeah, because we worked from hotel, you know, from morning till afternoon. And then all we did was like...
it's like, well, we would go out for food.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like, where are we getting food these days?
Yeah.
You know, because we had done a lot of like the touristy stuff before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, by the way, if anyone's going to the city of Portland, go to the OMSI Museum and take a tour of the USS Blueback. It's awesome. It was the last active duty diesel electric submarine in the U.S. Navy.
Wow.
It's awesome. It's like 60% operational. They like tell you, don't touch anything. These buttons all do stuff.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Cool.
That sounds cool.
But yeah, going back to it, it was, you know, we, like Mao said, we would work all day. And it was, you know, where are we going to get food?
Yeah.
You know, what do we want to try? What are we going to, you know, experience in that kind of regard?
And then... well, Portland kind of became a little dead compared to 3 years ago.
Oh.
A lot of restaurants and shops close now at like 7 p.m.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, by the time we got off work, like, it's already like really close to closing time.
Yeah.
So we couldn't just, you know, I mean, we didn't have a lot of option. That also kind of made us go to breweries. But there are so many good, you know, great breweries.
Yeah, and it was so good.
Yeah, we tried a lot of them. Yeah, we did drink every day.
Pretty much, yeah.
Pretty much.
But there's a difference between just like having a few beers and getting like hammered drunk every day. And you guys are not like getting drunk and.
Exactly, like we tried.
We and were experiencing the culture.
Yes.
Yeah, right. There you go. Yeah.
And then we had like the Tillamook cheeses that paired with different spirits and wines and stuff like that. So on the like the cheese that you buy from Tillamook, they tell you what to pair it with.
Oh, that's so cool.
Like a stick and a floor. That's like when we could hang out watching movie.
Oh yeah, there was an outdoor patio at our hotel.
Oh yeah, there was a picture of that.
Yeah, and it was on the second floor, so it was elevated above the street, and we could, you know, we're amongst the, you know, the buildings, and there was a large fire pit, and we could just watch movies and do whatever out there, just as long as it wasn't raining.
Yeah,
I think it's because it was after school. Yeah, and the school
after school started. Yeah. So there wasn't
there
like a lot of tourism.
Yeah, there were not a lot of family, you know, small kids, so... Basically, like, there was a pool, there was a gym.
But it was, like, open.
Open,
oh, how cool.
We swam almost, like, every day.
Yeah, it was great.
That looked like a fun trip. That sounds really fun. Yeah.
Something that, actually, you might be interested in, Dawn. Mm-hmm. When we were outside on the patio, I got a really terrible picture of it, so I'm not going to take it or show you. But six F-22 Raptors flew over. They were heading north.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So they were just...
practicing, probably. Mm-hmm.
I guess they were flying pretty slow.
Yeah.
So probably just getting out of the city to go do a training mission or something.
Were they in formation, or they were just going like?
They were in pairs.
Oh, okay.
So two by at a time, and then it was another two and another two. So.
Oh, how fun! I love that stuff.
Yeah, it was so cool. Like, you could just tell it was like that signature. Like, even though it was dark, like, you could just tell.
Yeah.
You know?
You can make out the shape and. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, how fun.
Because I don't think they're flying the F-15s anymore out of Portland.
No. They probably retired them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how cool, guys. Well, let's see. So, we did talk about how many babies you have, their names, their personalities.
I guess if you want, in case it wasn't clear, a distinct count of everybody that's active is probably like mm-hmm. four or five. But for, I think, everybody, we're probably up to eight or nine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nine, ten.
Are we at 10? No way. Hey, no, you can't keep Ben. Ben has to go back to his daddy.
I,
like
I think that might be like a lot of the accounts or a lot of people. I think there are like more secret babies or closet babies that we don't know about.
Yeah, you think so?
I think so. Yeah, because like, who was it recently? Somebody made a post about something and there was like this baby in the background. We're like, wait a minute, who was that baby? I can't remember what post it was, but I feel like this happens quite often.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
That makes me feel better.
We have a couple babies that are not a part of the account that are just like there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're either going to be part of the account at some point or they're just, you know, just here, but.
They come out for the family photo, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. There was that one family photo. There was like extra babies and people were like, who are these guys?
Aww.
Like, well, we don't, you know, they're not part of the show, so to speak. Oh, I just had to let Boo Boo in. She was scratching at the door.
Aww.
I'm like, who came in here? It was Boo Boo.
Boo Boo.
So, let's see. I was going to ask you about Japan. Oh, how long did you guys stay in Japan? How was that?
About 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We stayed in Osaka for 10 days, and I went to Kochi, which is my home country.
For hometown, 5 days.
Home city.
Yeah.
For 5 days.
Plus an extra 1.5 because of the earthquake.
Oh, yeah, there was an earthquake?
Happened. Yeah, and then, earthquake happened, I think, on New Year.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, gosh.
Because of the earthquake, well, long story short, two airplanes clashed in Haneda Airport, which is in Tokyo, which is we were going to fly from Osaka to Tokyo, the Haneda Airport. Because of that crash, everything was backed up and we just couldn't take the connection flight.
The problem was because, you know, it was the runway was... Okay, this is making it a long story. Anyway, we stayed for an extra day and a half. And you know what? I got to ride the bullet train, which wasn't in our itinerary.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
So, you know, we were at least... I was at least able to experience that this time.
Nice.
Yeah. But from Seattle to Tokyo, it was like about 9 hours, 10 hours. And including those transit... And then, you know, another flight from Tokyo to Osaka. And then we took train from Osaka, you know, the airport to the hotel. And then the whole first day of trip was like 24 hours.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was so it was so long. Well, from we woke up and just... It was
you know, when you're flying and you're so excited to get somewhere, so you can't sleep.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we, you know, we arrived at the hotel and then I was so exhausted, right? But it was his first time.
Yeah.
So he was so excited and then, you know, and then I suggested maybe we can go to a convenience store and then get something.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so excited and we got... I think we got some noodles, you mm-hmm. know, from convenience store, and then we had it. And then I was like, "Well, we don't have any, you know, particular plan tomorrow. Just sleep in, you know, just wake up like around noon, because at that time it was like 1 a.m.
Oh, yeah, gosh.
It was pretty late, right? And I was, I was out, and then he woke me up. 6 a.m.
Oh my god.
7 a.m. Yeah, and then just. when I opened my eyes, he was like,
so "You ready to go?"
Awake, smiling, so awake, looking so at me. It was so creepy, but I'm like, "Okay, do you want to wake up? Really? Like, it was only like after 24 hours."
Oh my
gosh! Like, he was so awake.
I was, part of that was the jet lag. My body was telling me it was the right time to get up, and then the other part was I was really excited to get out. Yeah. And get going.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah, it was crazy. But we went to Universal Studio next day, and at that point we were so exhausted. So finally
yeah, he could good.
Yeah. Finally he slept. Mel, or not Mel, Thomas, do you speak any Japanese?
I practice every day, yeah. So I can say some like really simple things. I can order food.
Oh,
you know,
good.
You know, I can ask people how they're doing. I'm getting to the point where I can ask where they're from and a little bit of directions and count stuff like that.
Yeah,
little by little.
Oh, that's good. Do you guys practice together?
Sometimes little
I have a problem because like I just don't speak like normal Tokyo dialect. Mm. No dialect. Japanese, like it's mm-hmm. and then you know those Duolingo Japanese pretty much Japanese that I don't speak.
Yeah, it's very like formal sort of.
Yeah, yeah.
Very well formal, to put it in terms of that like an American would understand, if imagine you live in the South and someone lives in the Pacific Northwest, you have different words for different things. You know, think soda versus pop.
Yeah.
Right? But then magnify that. The vocabulary diverges more in Japanese.
Yeah. So his main goal is to be able to talk with my parents who don't really speak those Tokyo language.
Yeah.
So I'm like, maybe I should, you know, casually talk in my Kochi dialect. And then I was over like thinking, and then I just, no, I'm not really helping you.
It's hard though.
Like, what is that word?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that one.
Yeah. I can see how that would be really difficult to try to help. But...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll work its way in eventually.
Yeah.
It'll be more casual.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, yeah, speaking of Japan, we are going to Japan in October.
Oh, like 2 weeks.
Oh, that's right. I thought you guys were going again. I didn't know it was that soon.
Yes. It's
4 weeks.
Yeah, 4 weeks. Yeah, we are going to Japan, which is only like, we're going to stay at my parents' house for a week.
Oh,
and that's for my, yeah, one of my friends from junior high school. She's getting married, so.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, so, well, my dad has never met him yet.
Yep.
And
are you nervous?
But he's, are you nervous?
I don't, not really.
Okay. Yeah,
I think, mom was, in my mind, the hardest one to, you know.
And then we kind of passed the test, you know. My mom came to the U.S., yeah.
And I'm really excited to meet her father.
Yeah.
And kind of build that relationship, and it sounds like he's really looking forward to meeting me too.
Yeah.
So I think we can really, you know, build a bridge, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, that's gonna be so exciting for you guys. And they got to watch your wedding, right? They weren't here for the wedding, but they got to see it.
Yeah, they watched the whole ceremony, and then we talked with them a little bit afterwards.
Oh, that's so great.
Do you remember the song that we played during me walking?
The
bridal march.
Yeah.
And that's like from, well, you can explain better.
Yeah. So the bridal march is a Japanese song from a Japanese drama in Japan, and it's very popular. Her father helped write some of the or correct the language from that drama, because the drama takes place in like the 1800s.
Oh.
And her father is a Japanese language professor and studies like the I won't say ancient, but the old dialects.
Yeah.
So they used him as a consultant to ensure that the dialogue was accurate for the time period that it takes place in.
Wow. I can't remember. Yeah, I can.
He's even in the credits. It's awesome.
Yes, it's like that drama is like now more than 10 years ago.
Yeah.
2011.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but when I, at the time I was like little girl, but I remember my dad receipt package and then those like scripts, you know, those huge big scripts and going through all the dialects, like back in 1800 samurai age, you know, those people, the Japanese people spoke different dialects. It was like heavier, much heavier. My dad is specialized in those like researching and kind of preserving.
Yeah.
Preserving the language from the past.
Yeah. Anyway, that was special to me. So that's why I chose it, chose the song. And then now I was having her time to find the drama with the English subtitle because I wanted to, show him the drama. And now, like, we found a Chinese.
Yeah, it was definitely a copy that was released from China.
Oh, my God.
But with the English subtitle. And
the Japanese audio on it still.
Oh, wow.
So
we ordered on Amazon, and then we started watching, actually, a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, how cool. What is it called?
Jin.
J-I-N. J-I-N. Okay.
Jin, the Time Traveling Doctor. If you type that in English, you'll find it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I'm going to totally look that up. We're always looking for things to watch, so maybe we can find out how to watch it, too.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Little gross, but...
A little gross.
Yeah.
It's not like U.S. zombie gross.
Though. No, not like that. It's more like, emergency room gross.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because that's a medical...
Yeah. Well, we're watching. I had never watched Squid Game before, so we just finished this.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's brutal.
That's really gross.
That was Korean dramas. It's so gross. Yeah, some of them really violent.
Yeah, I was surprised. I knew a little bit about what it was. Obviously, I didn't know like the full thing, but I was really surprised at the end of the season. It was like really like a human, like. Like, it really touched you, like, as a human, to see what these people were going through, and it had a really strong message. I really liked it, so I'm looking forward to the second season to come out.
Eventually, whenever it comes out.
Yeah.
We were just talking about that today. We didn't know when it was...
This weekend?
Yeah, wasn't it supposed to be in 2025 or something?
Oh, something like that. I don't know. I don't remember, but... If you haven't watched Resident Aliens, you love
that is
that
an
one
excellent
too.
Suggestion.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
On Netflix, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alan Tudyk is the main character who played in Firefly, and he actually was in Rogue One. He was the voice of the droid.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
No, it's just watch you. We love the show.
All right.
Is then Alien. Mm-hmm. It's just so funny. You can like what's called like attach to the
characters are very relatable. Oh, like the situations and the dialogue that they go through. It's like it's I've definitely said that before.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Okay. Uh-huh. Cool. I'm gonna I wrote that down and we're gonna watch that.
Yeah. How is a show that's based on an alien coming to Earth so human?
I know I didn't expect that. You know, kind of human, I don't know, almost reality drama, TV show. Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, well, because why not? I mean, why do they have to be so alien? I mean, they could be very human.
Yeah.
Like our babies. They just happen to be green, but they're still very human-like.
Yeah.
Should we ask some of the community questions?
Yeah, let's go through it.
Okay. Let's see. What should I start with? Oh, well, on the topic of Japanese and speaking Japanese, Baby Yoda Bebison, she asks, does any of the babies speak Japanese?
Everybody
does.
Yeah.
As long as Mao is holding them.
So they don't ever speak Japanese to you, Thomas?
Kind of like they are making fun of him not being able to speak Japanese. Hey, daddy. Mango said, I can teach you Japanese. And then just casually start talking in Japanese.
Oh my God.
Yes. And Mocha is going to Japan, so.
Oh, cute.
Japanese, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, good. So only he's going to go this time?
Yes, it's just quality.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
And whenever you go to Japan, you have to leave one suitcase like completely open because you have to buy all the stuff you want to take back.
Yeah. Yep. Totally get that. Yeah. All right. So Babison asked another question. She asked, how is Cherry's meditation going?
That's only between Karen and me.
And with that, we conclude this first part of the interview with Daddy Love Grogu. These two are so much fun to interview together. I can't wait for y'all to hear the second part, which will indeed be coming out next week. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.